Hey, welcome everybody. This is We Watch Stuff number 152. I am Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, pal?
Hello, I'm the guy that didn't kill a cow in the background, apparently, like my co-host did.
I've got Twitch on, and it's been like watching one of the streamer guys. Yeah, I do that now. And it's been pretty quiet the whole time. As soon as I hit the record button, someone goes, "Ah!" It's like, oh, Jesus. Anyways, welcome to the show. Hodgepodge show again, which is always our best ones, because not a whole lot's going on, except I guess I'll ask you. I think Cam posted a picture on Instagram of John Wick riding a horse, shooting a cop in the head, it looks like he's going to do.
Uh-huh.
Is that from part 3? Because I don't remember that in part 1 or 2.
Yes, it is, as they currently film.
Cool. All right. Boy, that's going to get some... I'm surprised that already hasn't gotten some negative press.
No, people have just been making memes.
Yeah, his was about being from Texas or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, they know what it is. It's a John Wick movie, so...
Yeah. Hey, you remember when Captain America got shot in the comic books and everyone started calling it anti-American and... You know, that sort of stuff. That still happens.
Yeah, but I don't hang with those people.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Those cool, like I said, John Wick got the cool crowd. Them weirdo comic fans, they do what they do.
Well, speaking of cool crowds, this is not what we were talking about before air, but I went to a baseball game followed by an indie wrestling show that was, it's PWX, which is the local federation here, and it's Premier Wrestling Experience. Kind of a 90s name with the experience part, you know, being X. But anyways, the baseball game was at 5 o'clock. That damn thing took forever. The Charlotte Knights, who are a AAA affiliate of the White Sox, they batted around the first 3 innings. They only scored 8 runs. They left so many men on base, so we're like, oh good, this is over. The other team's gonna quit. I mean, it's the last week for AAA teams. So, you know, it's like, all right, let's just get out of here, go home, play whatever. Is it not Latino ball? Where they go down to whatever the winter ball stuff is. Anyways.
Dominican League.
That's it. Well, the other team starts coming back. And I'm like, you've gotta be joking. So for the first 6 innings, there was never an inning where it went 1-2-3. And, you know, baseball players like taking their time as it is. By this time, I'm like, it's 90-something degrees, too, by the way. And I'm thinking, if this wasn't for wrestling after this, I'd be out of here. It's the only reason we're still here. So anyways, fast forward. And it was the Crockett Premier. Basically, it's Jim Crockett Promotions. They still exist. And they do charity work now. So this is all for, like, the Crockett stuff. And they actually had the finals of the Crockett Cup. You remember that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they actually had the Crockett Cup and all that. So they put it off, like, on the third base side. We were 4 rows off of the ring. Not on the floor, because they set the ring up right next to the barrier. So if you were in those first few rows... You had the ring ropes almost right in front of your face. I kept saying, I don't want to go down there because, you know, I won't be able to see. Well, anyways, it was actually really fun. And it actually makes me want to go and see these guys again. But as I was telling Kevin, and pretty sure I told you, the show was supposed to be headlined by Nick Aldis, who used to be Magnus, for those who follow wrestling, or... I guess you all of us know who it is. And you know how everyone's like, why isn't he in WWE? Like, why is he wasting his time and the indies and this and this? There's a big reason why.
Do people really say that anymore, though?
It still goes around. He still gets asked in interviews and all that stuff, too.
Oh.
So, he said it's politics that are keeping him out. Which I don't understand how it could be politics, because his wife works there.
I don't know. Maybe they don't want people thinking that Hugh Jackman signed with WWE. I mean, I'll let you continue. I have my thoughts about him.
Well, here's one thing. One, you said Hugh Jackman. That guy's charismatic and fun. Here's two things all this is not. Charismatic or fun. He faced the former champion of PWX, Ethan. Is it Ethan? God damn it. I keep getting his name wrong, which is terrible, because I actually really liked him. Yeah, Ethan Case is his name. They showed, like, they actually have, like, video packages. It was cool. They were playing him on the scoreboard and all that stuff. He was doing some pretty cool moves for a bigger dude. Well, it was basically a squash. All this came out, he did the Hogan leg drop, which got boos, which I thought was kind of funny. Who else did he did the Macho Man's double axe handle. Like, all of his moves were somebody else's moves. And this poor Ethan Case guy's just taking it, and then out of the blue, the match is over. He just pins him 1-2-3, and that's it. And I'm like, well, you're not in the big leagues because you're boring. Like, there was nothing there, unless there was something going on. Like, he didn't like the money or didn't like the crowd. Because by the end of the game, there was only, like, 100-and-something people that stayed. Because, you know, we've been there for 5 hours. Because baseball doesn't understand that you have to be quick nowadays. Anyways. And then, like, after the match, Ethan, like, he just left. Ethan Case stuck around and said, thanks for being here. You know, it's been a long day, and left. That was pretty cool. But it was only, like, a 3-match card. But it was a lot of fun. And for anyone who listens to this and goes, like, lives in Charlotte, or actually they go up to Shelby, Gastonia, they're all over the place down here. You get a chance, I'd say go. Because the guys bust their ass, and there's a team called the Ugly Ducklings, who, no offense to them, and they probably know, are never going to sniff WWE. They are athletic as hell, though. The problem is they're shorter than Elise is. And that's not going to get you very far.
How short are we saying?
She says she's 5'4.5". I've got her to stop saying. I'm sorry. She's 5'3.5". So one guy's probably her height. The other one's probably an inch or two taller.
Okay, so they can wrestle Pete Dunne.
Well, yeah, maybe. But they were really good, and the guys they faced. I can't have the website up in front of me. I'm sorry, I forget their name. But they were called the Lethal Enforcers. And one guy was like your typical 70s wrestler who was kind of overweight. So he wore a towel around his neck and had the satin jacket on, like Arn Anderson. Or any, like, you know, chubby guy from the 80s. Except at the end, this guy pulls off a moonsault from the top rope, destroys one of the Ugly Ducklings, and actually gets a pin off of it. And that's, like, the bad guys won. And for the people, like, our friends Greg and Lily came with us. They'd never been to a wrestling show before. They were eating up the entire event. They had a great time. So, you know, and they even said if it comes back around, they go again. So, see, as I keep saying, wrestling's cool. You just got to go with an open mind. So, that's about it. It was just fun. Oh, and the Barbarian was charging for autographs, so no, I did not meet him.
Because you're cheap.
Yeah, pretty much. Come on.
How much was he charging?
I think it was $35.
Oh, wait. What? $35?
I believe so. That's what I heard someone say.
Okay.
And I'm like, no. If it was $5, of course.
Okay. But, now, yeah, I was making fun of you because thinking, like, he was charging $10. You, like, that's like 2 beers, so hell no. But $35, that's almost a pay-per-view.
You know, the sad part is that is almost $2. I wasn't even drinking that day. So, I mean, that's not true, but, you know, not as much as usual. So.
Oh, 30. I mean, if people were paying it, then obviously it was a market. But 30, that's kind of bold for 2018.
Yeah, I thought.
I mean, I don't even think the Faces of Fear ever won the tag team titles. There's $35. But hey, like I say, it's, you know, somebody paid it. God bless them.
Oh, and the other guy I forgot that was there was Manny Fernandez. And I was too young, I guess, to really get into the Raging Bull and Rick Rude. They teamed
up. Yeah. Right? Yeah, you know what's funny? I swear he was dead.
Okay, and I think I brought this up on the last show, maybe. Boogie Woogie Man Valiant was there, and I honestly thought he had passed away. And nope. He was there spry. If when I'm that old, I want to have that much energy, man. That was crazy. So, yeah, there is hope out there, guys. I don't feel it right now. That's why I'm kind of all over the place. But yeah, so it's, you know, as much as some people don't enjoy WWE, I don't know. That local Fed won me over, man. This first time, even for a three-match, there was another one with John Skyler, who's actually been on WWE TV as different names, and I believe the last time he was on, he was Ricky Roberts. And he got squashed. So, there's that. But, yeah, as the Poison song goes, it was nothing but a good time. So, even with the bad Nick Aldis match, to be completely honest. So, what were you going to say about Nick Aldis before we get off that one?
I think you said more than enough, because it's like... I mean, it's kind of like he had a good... Like, I remember watching... When I watched TNA, it's like he has a good look, but that's all he had. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's kind of like one of those... It looked fine until it was emotion. And it was... I think it was kind of like, you know, when he was that... What was he in a tag team with? Was it when he was a tag team with Doug Williams, or with somebody else? It's kind of like, oh, you know, he's one of those up and comers. He's got something special and everything. And it's one of those. It sounds nice, but if you've been saying that he has something special, he just needs a chance. And it's like 3 years later, mm-hmm. and you're like in the same spot. Then what's going on?
Yeah, you know what he's got going for him, and I'm completely comfortable with this. He's a handsome fella. The ladies really enjoyed him being out there. Because, I mean, and this is no offense to the other guys, he's in shape. And he's got that James Bondish rugged look going for him. So, yeah, there was some swoon going on as well. So, but that's only going to get you so far. I mean, there's plenty of handsome dudes in wrestling. So anyways, gang, that's my experience. Not a whole lot going for it because... It was just fun, and you can find them on like Fight TV and all that stuff. They got their own service, so that's pretty cool too. But
okay, well, I hope you didn't scare off all of the people who normally come in. Like, why are we spending 10 minutes talking about baseball and minor league wrestling?
Yeah, well, minor league baseball at that. So I mean, they go hand in hand, I guess. But yeah, I don't know, man.
I mean, that's we watch stuff. That's what you watch.
Yeah, and I don't know, after watching like SmackDown. Like, you were right. Daniel Bryan stuff was fun. I was really happy. Like, I actually thought Andrade was going to beat him just to continue the storyline, and I would have been totally fine with that. Because as soon as, you know, Daniel Bryan gets done with Miz, if he went into a feud with him, that'd be fine. I'd watch that all day. And then the opening segment was fun, but New Day's getting a little long in the tooth with some of this stuff.
I mean, people still like him.
Yeah, I know. And
I mean, it's the funny thing. People want to have both ways. People say, you know, they rush through stuff. They don't let stuff breathe like back in the good old days. And then they have something that's like still around and still gets, you know, attention. And it's like, oh, well, it's old. I mean, what's wrong with old if it still works?
Yeah. And then seeing Booker come out as King Booker, that really made me happy. And then he got all his catchphrases, including... And did he mess it up? Because isn't he supposed to say, you didn't say that? Tell me you didn't just say that. And instead he goes, you didn't say that. And that was it. And I was like, wait a second. He skipped over one of the lines.
I mean, it's his catchphrase.
Yeah, and he can do what he wants. And the man can still pull off a spin-a-rooney. So, in slacks on top of that.
I mean, he's still in shape. So, yes. And I mean, he's probably taking care of himself body-wise. He's not limping around like Jake Roberts or Scott Hall or anything like that. So, yeah. But no, you know, beginning second was fine. And then, of course, the ending with Stone Cold Becky Lynch was hilarious. And I'll do a quick talk about that before we go on to other stuff. I was watching that and I realized that I think I became like, I'll be that post like I'm a wrestling heretic because I'm at the point now where if they tell a story and I'm interested, that's all I need. I don't care who they tell me to be, who the good guy or bad guy is. I'm going to pick whoever I want. So it makes no difference to me if they will have Charlotte will be the good guy and Becky's the bad guys, because whatever. Like, you can tell that story if you want. obviously the crowd is going to pick who they want to pick, and obviously the crowd's going to pick Becky Lynch for a myriad of reasons, because one, they kind of built that for them to cheer Becky Lynch in the first place. Two, Becky Lynch is naturally likable. Three, Charlotte is naturally unlikable for a lot of things that have nothing to do with her whatsoever. And you got this aggrieved babyface that's just coming out being a badass. It's like, this is, it's plenty of people that, oh, WWE don't know what they're doing. Like, this ain't like the first time they've done this. Like, we missed this, all this stuff with Stone Cold. We missed, you know, they did the same thing with Braun Strowman. Like, you know, like, it's, they have done this with people before. They even did with Randy. I remember people were cheering Randy Orton when he was feuding with Triple H, including when Randy Orton was like DDT and his wife. And the only reason that kind of stopped because Shane McMahon came in and ruined it. But it's like, they've done this whole, I'm a badass heel, eventually gets light regardless of what story you tell. So I think they've learned between, I think it's probably all that Roman Reigns stuff was like, we gonna tell the story if the crowd cares. We don't care who they cheer and boo, as long as they cheering and booing somebody. It's like, if you don't cheer, if you booing Charlotte, you cheering Becky Lynch, at least you care. Regard, you know. So, and I'm like in the same boat. It's working for me, because think of the fact that Becky Lynch came out and jumped Charlotte after Charlotte had a good match with Carmelo, who's actually improving, jumps her from behind, stomps her down, says she's gonna take her title, and calls her a bitch. And everybody's cheering her. It's like, I mean, if she's doing all this quote-unquote cowardly stuff and it doesn't make a difference anyway, then what can you do?
Yeah, see, I'd be with you on that. And, yeah, I mean, I cheer for whoever I want. I always have. But they tried making Becky Lynch turn the crowd against her last week. And I think a lot of people were salty about that. Yeah, like, I mean, we're the ones that did have a hashtag for you. Well, no, that's the bad writing part of it.
But, I mean, they're going to do that. But, like, so what? That's... I mean,
well,
I know
it doesn't
what you're saying
correctly. That's why.
But I mean, man, I mean, the whole thing is kind of like, it didn't. The Miz comes out and insults people week after week, and people still end up cheering for him, even when they shouldn't. And it's kind of like Elias has been doing that for 6 months, and people know the stick. Who wants to walk with Elias? Yay! Who wants to walk with Elias? Yay! Not you yahoos from Yonkers. Yeah. I'm talking about real people. Boo! And then they go back and cheer like people. It's kind of like people play. It's funny talking about wrestling sometimes, because I noticed this whole under like kayfabe. So I'm like, I'm almost 40 years old. Like, are we really doing? Like, you know the deal. I know the deal. We know what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. All the, they leaving money on the table and all this other stuff. It's like, please don't make me feel stupid watching wrestling. Like, let's let me watch it. And either I'm going to enjoy it or not enjoy it. Like, I get the whole thing. They're trying to make Becky look like the bad person or anything like that. And it's like, of course. Like, because if they didn't, then Charlotte wouldn't have a leg to stand on. But to Charlotte's point, and I love, it's funny, Charlotte's going to be right. She's going to end up being a heel anyway, because her whole thing is like this. Y'all getting on me because of my dad and because I look the way I look. Well, I'm supposed to do this rollover. Like, I won the match. Becky would have won. If Becky was good enough, she would have won the match too. Had she been good enough, she would have already had the title. I did what I was supposed to do, and I'm not going to, you know, be sorry because I'm Charlotte Flair. And somehow that makes her the asshole.
Yeah, see, all right. I'm with you on the I'll cheer for who we want. I just don't want them saying, hey, you should cheer for this person. If the story you're telling doesn't make sense, it's, and I guess the only practical sense I can put this in is like at the end of Infinity War, because Thanos was so charming, and, you know, he's a badass. He beats everybody. And at the end, we're all like, yeah! And you start cheering for him. I'm trying to make sure this makes sense. It kind of did in my head. But I think
you're going to prove my point more than yours.
I think so. And that's why I stopped.
Yeah, like, yeah, because it's kind of like Thanos is the villain. But how many people came out the movies like, well, you know, Thanos kind of had a point.
He killed half the galaxy.
He killed half the damn population. It's like, oh, maybe he had a point. How many times is kind of like people root for villains even though they have no business doing it? Like, you know, well, you know, Killmonger, he might have had a point. What? And it's kind of like they didn't write the story. Like, they write the story so, you know, Black Panther's the hero. But you're going to root for who you want to root for. Like, even stuff like The Raid, like, you know, Mad Dog is one of the villains. Can you really call him a bad guy? Like, he's fighting fair fights when he doesn't have to. At the end, he's fighting both brothers at the same time. He didn't have to do that. He had one of them tied up. He could have just shot both of them. We're like, nah, I'm going to let you go, and we're going to shoot the fair one. Like, even stuff like that's kind of like, when you do stuff like that, you can't be too surprised when people cheer a certain way. And as far as the story makes sense, quick thing before we go. You remember when Ultimate Warrior's feuding with Hulk Hogan for the title, and they were both like baby faces?
Yeah, it's funny, because I've actually been listening to a lot of those old Something to Wrestle With.
Yeah.
And they actually just listened to one about that.
Yeah. Do you remember that promo Ultimate Warrior talked about how he was going to take over the plane that Hulk Hogan was in, and he was going to, like, basically jump in the cockpit, take the plane over, and crash it?
Yep.
So they go in that, basically go into heaven and fight for whoever's the true Hulkamaniacs versus my Warriors. Like, basically, Ultimate Warrior was going to do a 9/11 so they could finish the fight in heaven. And he's the baby, and he's one of the baby faces. Like, it's funny when I never thought about that way until Edge and Christian made fun of it on, like, that deconstruction of Ultimate, like, the destruction of Ultimate Warrior nonsense DVD they did. And I'm like, yeah, Ultimate Warrior did kind of sound like a terrorist in that.
Yeah. Yes. I remember. I don't remember that as a kid. I would love to say I did, but going back and looking as an adult, you're like, "Huh? Like, wait a second. What's going on here?"
I'm going to take the plane, send it to a nosedive, so we can continue our fight in the heavens. Who said that? Ultimate Warrior or Osama bin Laden?
Yeah, but like, and wait, what? Like, why? Like, you haven't fought on the Earth yet, so why would you want to go to heaven first?
So I'll basically say that to say I'm not really a stickler when it comes to certain, like, I'm not a stickler as I used to be with wrestling storylines, because a lot of them kind of goofy. Like, Steve Austin broke into Brian Pillman's house after beating up his friends, and Brian Pillman's almost did a stand your ground thing, and somehow Pillman was the bad guy in that. Like, how? Pillman trying to defend his damn family from this lunatic that just beating people up and broken his house twice.
Now, see, that, all right, that was one of those situations, because they were both bad guys. That was the weirdest angle to me, because they were both bad guys at the time. That was before Austin 316, I believe. Wasn't it?
No, it was after Austin 316, but Austin was still like a bad guy. Like, he had just started his stuff where he was going to feud with, like, Owen and Bret Hart. That was, like, right at the beginning, so.
But yeah, what a weird, like, to this day, I mean, that's how memorable it is, besides the gun part, that we're all still remembering that. Like, what a weird, weird world wrestling can be. And I think that's got to be one of the epitomes. And outside, like, the bloopers or, you know, look at that one, like, Shockmaster sort of stuff. It was funny that you mentioned, like, rooting for the bad guys. Because as I sent you a list of all the movies I've caught up with, I watched Hell or High Water.
Uh-huh.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good.
I figured you would. I was waiting for you to see it.
Yeah, and it was funny because there's really no good guy in it. Except maybe Jeff Bridges' partner.
Yeah, we had talked about that. Yeah. It's kind of like it's people doing stuff for their reasons.
Yeah, well,
that's, I mean, like, living life. It's like, is Jeff Bridges really a bad guy? Like, beside all the only unlikable stuff is all those racist jokes. He's all the Native American and Mexican jokes he's making.
But which was weird. I'm glad you brought it up, because I was going to as well. Because at the end, when he gets killed, his partner gets killed. Spoiler, guys. And he just went out. Just, boom, dead. And you just see him like, oh my god. Like, he freaks out. And he even says, like, you're gonna, like, he's like, I can't remember his partner's name, which sucks, but he goes, you ever gonna run out of insults? He goes, no, once I'm done teasing you about being, was it, Indian? Yeah, once I'm done teasing about being Indian, I got plenty of Mexican teases for you. And so you're like, god, you're just a dick to this guy. But then he gets killed. And the part that got me was after he shoots Ben Foster, he just loses it.
Yeah.
Like, there was no macho to it. There was nothing. It was just, oh my god, I don't know, the gravity of the situation, especially, you know, with him being
About to retire, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, and like keeping out there on purpose. That was heavy, man. And
yeah.
the movie's not fun. I mean,
no, like this movie is good but not fun. Yes. And it's kind of like, I remember we had talked about when I saw it. And this whole thing is like, one, you forget Chris Pine is a very good actor. Yes. You just used to see him like Star Trek. It's like, yeah, you see him in other stuff. You can tell he's got some acting chops. And Ben Foster is just awesome at playing like that crazy screw loose type dude. Yeah. Like that's basically his thing now. And this story is kind of like, you know, basically I'm tired of being poor. My family been poor our whole generations, and I'm gonna break the cycle. Like, and it ain't even for me. It's for my, like, the whole thing is like, it's for my kid's next wife. He ain't getting a dime. He ain't doing it for him. Like, it's not this whole I'm robbing stuff so we all take care of ourselves. Like, I'm doing all this so my family that I don't even really have a part of will be fine and the future be fine. Me is like, whatever. And not even, like, normally you can see, like, the Ben Foster things, like, I'm crazy. I ain't got nothing to lose. We go ahead and do that. But you don't see that from the hero unless he got, like, you know, I got cash. I'm about to die.
Yeah. Yes. And
because he's got this.
That's not what happens.
Yeah. Like, he's got this. Like, the way the movie ends, it's kind of feel like, you know, Jeff Bridges is going to show up one day. They're going to have a shootout.
That's what it seemed like to me as well. And I just thought, okay. Like, because, you know, Jeff Bridges by the end has to retire. And he can't do anything. Now he's just a civilian.
Mm-hmm.
And just to know the torture of it, because it, you expect him to show up, see the, like, I don't know, I guess in a regular movie, I'll say regular, it's the only word I can think of, that you would expect Jeff Bridges to show up at the end, look around and figure, like, as soon as he tells him, well, it's not for me, it's my kid's land, that he'd be like, oh, I get it. And then kind of like be like, all right, I'll be seeing you. Like, kind of like, they kind of like, be friendly about it. That's mm-hmm. not the vibe I got at the end. It
nah, was, he's like, I later. Mean, I understand why you did it, but you still killed my best friend. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and the whole thing, you kind of rooting for them because, like, you know, the bank's taking their house, so what's poetic justice but robbing the bank to pay the bank off to get the house back? And then it's like, come to find out, it's oil there. They use the bank to basically protect themselves, so it's like, you know, the cops can't do any investigating because the bank, like, you ain't messing with our money. It's like the whole, like, the plan is devious as hell. Like, it's real, like, you know, you cross your T's and dot your I's type thing, but it's still like like, you know, you can understand them being criminals, but it's still criminal activity, and like people got shot and killed. And I did laugh at the whole thing, like, of course it's a Texas movie, they try to rob one bank and everybody there on a Friday got the damn gun out and jump in the trunks like, we gonna go get them. Because it's like, yeah, that's Texas.
That was one of my favorite parts, though. Because, I mean, they even knew. Like, they kind of hinted around, like, yeah, we don't want to attack it this time of day because, you know, we're going to get lit up. And then everyone pulls guns. They chase him, and he just pulls out whatever that damn thing was. And they were like, nope. And everyone just got in their trucks and took off. I mean, at least, like, that's kind of comedy.
Yeah, I'm brave. I ain't that brave.
Yeah.
Type thing.
But no, I mean, just well acted all the way through, and just what a I hate to say realistic point of view, but the sense of reality in it, just with, like, the one cowboy where there's the fields burning and he's moving the cows to another, like, through the fence to another field, you know, on the outside of water, and he goes, my kids are on their phones or whatever all day. No wonder they, it's like, no wonder they want to do this shit. Just walk off, and then they just let it burn out. He's like, you're gonna call it in? He's like, what's there to call in about? It'll get over here. It'll take care of itself. Like, cocksure, but also with, like, intelligence behind it. And I don't know, man. I was really impressed. Of all the movies I saw, this was my favorite one. And
yeah, I was mad I didn't get a chance to see the movie theater, and I definitely enjoyed it when I got on Blu-ray. Like, it was a real good movie. It was like, it's one of those, you know, the quote unquote, they don't, not that they don't make it anymore, they just don't make it as, they don't make them as much as they used to, because it's kind of like, you either go big or go home. And it's one of those, it's not a good guy versus bad guy, it's just people doing their thing, and you either agree or disagree, and, like, you can see both points of view.
And it, yeah, and it's also, like, I guess the only, if you want to put markers on people, the only bad guy would be Ben Foster, I guess.
I mean, is he bad, or is he just him?
Well, I mean, he was doing unnecessary things.
Yeah, but it kind of came off like, you know, he had like a devil on his back type thing.
Yeah.
And that's really true. Like, and even him is like, you know, I'm sorry I had to drag you into this. Like, he knew what they were doing was bad, and he's mad that not that he was like, he didn't mind doing it because, like, you know, he had to feel like, I'm not going to live long anyway. He just didn't want his brother taking that same path. And that's kind of like how the funny thing about the movie, normally they don't have Chris Pine playing it the way he played it, like, you know, unless, like I said, you know, something bad's happening. He's going back to prison. Because, like, he's young, he's in shape and everything like that. And it's kind of like, you know, I took care of what I need to take care of. I'm not worried about anymore. That's like that's normally like a Mad Max dystopian thing. You know, my family rich. I'm just going to chill on my farm. What is he, in his 30s?
Yeah.
Like, what you going to do for the rest of your damn life? Be broke? Watch your family be, like, I guess he got the film where, like, after that, it didn't make a difference for him either.
Yeah, it's funny because I saw a bunch of other ones. And I know one of these days we're going to get around to it, talk about action movies. This kind of reminded me of, like, one of those old, like, a much more well put together, well acted, directed, written, everything grindhouse movie, to where it's dirty. I mean, maybe it was the setting, but goddamn, it's like, someone take a shower in this movie, please. I mean, there's nothing but sand, tumbleweeds. I mean, you're in the Texas desert for half of it. It's just like a really unpleasant, and so you just got like that, like, gritty vibe to it. I guess that's the word I'm gonna go with instead of dirty. But I think that's why I liked it so much too, because it was just, there's moral ambiguity, and, you know, just not a lot of nice people, not a lot of good people. Yeah. Even his kid's kind of a dick, but his kid had a point too. He tells the kid, "Don't do what I did." Okay, here, have a beer. No, that's okay. You just told me not to be what you did. So which is it? And I'm like, okay. The adult just got schooled by his father, or the father just got schooled by his kid.
Yeah, it's funny you think about that, the whole likable and unlikable thing, because I was thinking about that whole, when we were talking about, like, because it leads in, like, action movies, and I had watched three different ones, and it's kind of, you know, like, the action movie was like, you know, the hero finds out he's special, he doesn't want to be special, he just wants to be a regular guy, and then something happens, and it's like, he finally embraced being special. Because I saw Clash of the Titans, like, the remake one with Sam Worthington. I saw Percy Jackson, and then Kingsman, and it's like they all tell the same story, but one of them one of them works well, Kingsman does. One of them is like inoffensive, Percy Jackson, and one of them does not work at all, Clash of Titans. And the main reason is like the main characters. Like, I had seen Clash of Titans a lot. I didn't realize the last time I watched, like, how much of a dick Sam Worthington is in that movie. Like, he is not charismatic, he's just a jerk. Like, grouchy and mumbling. And you remember the picture I showed you, the cast?
Mm-hmm.
They basically had all these people here to, like, elevate him. Like, he was, like, a rookie in wrestling. You got both Ralph Fiennes and Liam Neeson. You had Mads Mikkelsen, you know, Mr. Hannibal himself, Dr. Strange himself. You even had Beast in there. You had Liam Cunningham from Game of Thrones. Like, you had Danny Houston. I forgot Danny Houston. This Luke Evans. Like, all these people here just elevate him. And the whole time he's like, you know, I just want to be a man. I'm not trying to be special. I just want to be a man. And that's fine, whatever. But halfway through the movie, Mads Mikkelsen's character is like, you know, he pushing like, half my men are dying because your damn pride. Zeus give you all this stuff. We trying to save this damn city, and you want to dick around like, I just want to be a man, and I just want to do this, and you ain't a man. Same way, it's like, yeah, but still, like, you know, I know what you're saying about your men dying and we suffering, but I got to prove this point. And I'm like, this is so goddamn selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's hard to watch a movie when the hero's not making any sense. Like, I can see this whole thing. I mean, part of it's like, you know, he got a point because the guys killed his family and all this other stuff. But it's like, y'all got shit to do. And the worst part about it is he only changed, like, basically his entire team dies, like everybody, even his girl, like even the girl that's with him, and he doesn't change his mind till the girl dies, his love interest. Then all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'm gonna use this sword and this magic horse and we're gonna get it done. Like, right, and then 10 minutes later the movie ends.
Yeah, here's the problem with this. I don't know any of this because I gave up on that movie after 20 minutes. I'm like, this is boring as hell. I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't do it anymore.
You didn't miss anything. It's fun. Like, it'd be a more watchable movie if the lead character is likable, and like Percy Jackson is kind of like same type of thing. And Logan Lerman's like, he's just inoffensive. He doesn't add to anything, but he doesn't take away anything. But watching those movies made me realize how good a job the dude playing the main character of Kingsman was.
Yes.
Because he's good in those movies. And that's a hard role to play, like, you know, the snot-nosed punk that, you know, going against authority and you a rebel and all this stuff. Because normally they come off as, like, unlikable dickheads. And he's not unlikable. And he should be unlikable. Like, he's real good, and I don't think I appreciated it till I compared like all the other movies. Like Wanted, I didn't really like because James McAvoy was just so whiny in that damn movie, and it's just funny in hindsight seeing James McAvoy now. It's like he was basically playing like a teeny bopper. Like, just I'm so overwhelmed by Angelina Jolie because she's just gonna devour me, and I don't know what to do. Like Gravitas, Atonement. Professor X and James McAvoy is playing that role. Like, it don't even seem like that movie don't even click right. Because it just seem like miscasting that. But whenever they have, like, we talked about the Hollywood thing. They kick in these old bland, white bread actors that's like, you know, I'm a stand-in for the audience, and you can root for me and we root behind them. And it's kind of like, that's why a lot of these action movies don't work anymore, because they don't have any personality. You don't care. Like, you know what Sam Worthington is? If you play a first-person shooter. And it's funny because he was like in like one of the Call of Duty games. Yes. He did like the voice. If you take a first-person shooter and you just want a guy who doesn't talk and he just look like generic Marine number 345, that's Sam Worthington. That's exactly who he is. Like, he's ruggedly handsome. He's inoffensively handsome. He's in shape but not like freakish shape. And he's just there.
It's all right. So on that tip... See, I don't disagree with you. Like, Percy Jackson was another one I was just bored watching, although that did give us Alexandria Daddario.
Uh-huh. And you think about that. You had her, Uma Thurman, and Rosario Dawson all in the same movie.
Yeah.
And Pierce Brosnan and some. But, like, I'm like, how many favors did they use to get all these? Like, how did they get all these people to be in this little movie?
I think people just thought, like, all right, franchise. And
I mean, they had two because they made a sequel, so
I think they're making a third one. If I remember right, there's supposed to be a third one coming, but I don't know. I never saw the second one, and I don't remember much of any of the first one except that Alexandra Daddario was in it. So, and that's why the first season of True Detective will always be the best one. Which, by the way, I had no idea. This is a totally off the cuff one. I had no idea there was a third season coming to that.
Yeah.
That's great, and it can't be worse than the second. So, you got
because that's why your boy Cottonmouth left Marvel early because he's starring in season 3 of True Detective.
I didn't know that's why he left. All right. Well, wait, he wasn't Cottonmouth, was he? No. He was the club owner.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like when you see people in shows, and then all of a sudden they're not in shows anymore. It's kind of like, oh. And they normally work is like they're busy doing something else. Like, they probably got a job, something else. I remember like Paula Patton showed up in SVU for one episode, and then she was there one episode when she was gone same episode. And it's like, well, she was supposed to be there long term, but then she got cast in Mission Impossible.
Oh damn! Well,
yeah.
I guess that was a good call for her.
I mean, she's a movie money still movie money.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else I saw. Oh, I saw American Made with Tom Cruise, which I know you said you haven't seen yet. Mm-hmm. And I'll be curious what you think of that. I enjoyed it, but I think the timing for that movie is all wrong. Because it was right after Narcos started. Like, I think the second Yeah, I think the second season of Narcos started. And that's what it is. He's one of the guys from Narcos that's kind of in there. And but you see like his perspective. And then it's a Doug Liman movie too.
Yeah. So it's funny about that time frame because we've gotten so many stories about that time frame from every different perspective, because you basically had you had Narcos, you had Blow, you have this. It's like, how many times? And then you got Snowfall on FX. It's like, how many ways you can talk about the 80s drug trade?
Yeah.
Like, they talked about it from, like, they've talked about from on the ground that happened in Colombia. They've talked about the people in between. They talked about people in the street. It's like, I know it was a good time, but, like, it's... Unless it's... The whole thing like this. If it's not real good, you shouldn't even bother. It's like almost like World War II movies.
Yeah.
How good can you make it? Like, if you're not Christopher Nolan, you're not going to basically, like, you're not going to touch Saving Private Ryan, then why are you going to do it?
Yeah. And, well, that's one that's not on my list, but I do have it in the DVR. What else I see? Oh, I finally saw Atomic Blonde.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had the same thought I had. Like, the action was great and the story was just a mess.
Yes.
And I'm starting to wonder, out of the two John Wick directors, which one had the brains and which one did, because it seemed like David Leitch does fine on action, but not on story. Chad Stahelski's doing the Wick movies, and David Leitch went out and doing all this other stuff. And it's like, you know, Deadpool 2 was fine. The story was already there anyway. It was nice and simple. But this one is Atomic Bomb was like, the previews don't match this movie.
No.
Because it's like, you do the action stuff, it's fine. All this other, like, double and triple cross, and this is kind of like you trying to go for a certain aesthetic. It's like you're trying to combine two different movies that did not work. Like, you can't do The Americans in the Raid. And that's basically what they tried to do. Like, you can do one or the other. You can't do this whole fraught, slow burn, political drama, double cross and triple cross, and you got Charlize Theron beating somebody to death with a frying pan.
Yeah. And then also, parts of it, like, they tried to make it as realistic as possible, right? She gets clobbered by a guy that's twice my size. And I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure she would have got knocked straight out of this one. But after a while, I'm like, whatever, the action's cool, so I said, all right, fine. But, yeah, I'm just watching this going, can we just start fighting again so we can see something cool? Because there is one scene that I'm going to say it wasn't one take, but even if
like
oh, my God, that was really cool.
Yeah. Oh, they did it on purpose, like make you look like it was one take, but it wasn't. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a cool scene, because it's kind of like after 3 minutes, it's kind of real hard to do one take. Like, yeah. That's like on The Protector, the one with Tony Jaa. They said they took like a month, because it was like a 6 minute one take thing. It's like, yeah, that's hard. After like, that's why most people don't do it, because beside one, it's kind of like show off at this point. Two, it's been done so much, it's like, it ain't worth it.
Yeah. I mean, it's always fine if it's good. I wouldn't mind if that became like a staple. I mean, I guess it kind of is.
Yeah.
But it's like, Daredevil did it their season. They did it again season two. Punisher had one. Arrow did one. And you're like, oh no, it's
like Ace the Shield did one. Like, even, it's like, what was the movie? London Has Fallen. They had a real good one that you didn't even realize, because like, I was just so used to it. And then I didn't realize it like the second time I saw it. Like, when the first time I saw it, like, you know, Children Men was like the one that like people noticed it. I know True Detective season one did it. It was like this whole, but now
it's the kind beginning.
Yeah. I mean, even like Goodfellas, when they first go in the restaurant, I was like, now it's like, you know, anybody that's decent is going to try to do it. And it's like, unless it's like Tom Cruise running for a minute, which is like still the best thing of Mission Impossible 3, is like he ran straight. And I remember Tom like a minute and change, this sprinting nonstop. It's like, unless you're something like that, it's kind of no point. Because I've seen it, and I doubt you can have it better than the ones we've seen already.
Yeah. And, oh, to get back to American Made, Tom Cruise does run in this movie, just in case you were wondering. Okay. Trying to think, what else was on the list? God damn, I didn't write them all down. Oh, we talked about it a long time ago, but I saw Ghost in the Shell, finally. And I understand all this, like, people have, like, socially had a problem with it, and this and this, and that's cool. I don't know how you even got to that point, because that movie fucking sucked. That was the most boring techno movie I've ever seen. And I had no aspirations of it being bad. I figured Scarlett Johansson, source material's good. Yeah, I heard about the problems it has. But no one warned me about how boring that movie was.
I did. Cause I don't
remember you saying it was boring.
No, I said not only was it, like, bad because of, like, the social stuff, it was just a bad movie. Like, it was just – like, the previous movie I saw like that was Aeon Flux, where it was just boring. Yeah, because I'm like – because, like, you know, Charlize Theron, good director based off a thing. It's like she just coming off monster, and that was boring as can be, too. And I'm like, this was just – even with, if you take all the bad – plotting parts are like the she's really Japanese and a white person body crap and all this other stuff. The movie's just dull. Like, how you gonna have all this fun source material and just make a boring ass movie that's gonna be problematic? Like, if it's gonna be trashy, at least make it entertaining. So it's like, you know, I know I shouldn't watch it, but I'll watch it anyway. This one, like, I have, what's the reason to watch it?
Well,
exactly. Like, there's no reason to watch it. Like, even if I'm not, even if it's kind of like I'm not offended by anything, it's still a boring ass movie. Yes. So what's the point?
And that's where like whenever someone says I'm not easily offended. Well, I'm not either. But you know what I was offended by? Wasting 2 hours on that shit. I kept waiting for something better to come, and now I've heard it's not a good movie. I'm really nervous about watching Blade Runner 2049. Because I haven't heard a damn good thing about that movie.
The only thing I've heard, it's funny, I've heard people either like it or can't stand it. I started watching it, like, basically people say, you know, it's a very beautiful movie. But then you got a lot of people saying, like, one, it's too long, it's too complicated. And not even talking about the other stuff, basically it's kind of like this, you got Japan, it's basically almost like how you got Japan with no Japanese people type thing. And that's a, I don't even want to get in that whole sci-fi thing, because we've talked about, like, it's a lot of people in sci-fi think you're just going to hit, like, the 22nd century and no ethnic people won't exist anymore, but that's neither here nor there. I started watching it. I got to the part with Batista, and then I think I had to go to work because it's a long movie, and it's one of those things where it's kind of like, it don't seem like the type of movie where you can, like, just play in the background. Like, you got to kind of pay attention, so I need some time where I can just pay attention and, like, watch it. So we'll see.
All right, I'm trying to think. There was something else I saw, but oh well. Yeah, so it was like, you know, I've peppered in good and bad, so it wasn't like a steady decline or an uprise or anything like that. So, but I'm slowly starting to catch up to last year, apparently.
So I'm glad.
Yeah.
Did you see The Mummy yet?
No, I did not, because I ended it on a high note with Hell or High Water.
That was good. I can't wait till
You already said it was bad.
Oh, no. Bad is... It wasn't as bad. That's an understatement. Like, okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be... We're going to enjoy talking about it again, because it's funny. Like, it's showing up on HBO now, and I always turn the channel when it comes on. And I saw this, and I was just saying one thing, and I didn't even notice it till somebody pointed out on Twitter. I won't mention who it was, but... They're in there, and they have a map of, like, somewhere in Iraq, and they got, like, this thing circled, like, saying, like, you know, we're trying to get to this city, like, Haram. Do you know what Haram means in Arabic?
No.
It basically means, like, you know, wrong or forbidden. It's not a city. It's not a location. Imagine you going somewhere, like, we're trying to get to New York. What part of New York? Nowhere. Okay. Nowhere Brooklyn. Like, you know, bad town Bronx. And I saw this, and I'm like, what the? I didn't see it in the movie. I missed it in the movie theater. I saw it when I was there. I'm like, somebody wrote this and thought this was, like, was a – and I just wonder, like, the people that in, like, movies, like, people need some more outside friends. I think about that at the time. I watch a lot of stuff, and it's like, you need that person to, like, you know, maybe this ain't a good idea, like that type of thing. Like, although it did before, I guess we'll find out in the thing. I'm still mad at the dude that tried to blackmail Batman in Dark Knight. I don't know why I posted it on Twitter. I'm like, that's just, it's just something about that that is, it just rubs me. Like, what's your goal? You really trying to blackmail Batman? Like, I found out who you are. Give me $10 million a year for the rest of my life, or I'm going to snitch. Yeah. Like, let's think about that.
Well, yeah. And then he was going on the Jack Ryder show, Go Public. That's always a good way of doing it, too.
Yeah. But that, at least the second time, is kind of like, I'm doing this now to save people. The first time, I'm just being a greedy bastard. This one's like, well, the Joker said he's going to keep killing people unless I snitch, so I need to help the community and all this stuff. And then the Joker turned on, like, you know, and somebody killed him, then I won't blow up a hospital. But no, I'm just thinking this whole thing is like, and then you, okay, so you know, rich-ass Bruce Wayne is Batman. You know what Batman does, right? You think he can't handle your ass? Like, he beat a ninja master. He handled the mob. He's fighting a Joker. But a white middle management accountant is just going to, like, scam Batman. And it never bothered me till this week. It's funny, like, you know, you watch certain stuff and you don't really think about it, and one day you just think about it, just irks you the wrong way. And it, I don't know why it popped in my head. I just thought about this, like, the balls on that guy. Like, he's like, so that's why I'm not surprised when you had, like, people like Paul Manafort and Michael Cohen doing the stupid stuff like that. It's like, I watched enough movies. Like, I watched RoboCop. Michael Cohen ain't any smarter, dumber than Dick Jones was. Like, he was going to kidnap the head of OCP. I'm going to get a helicopter. Don't chase me, RoboCop. How you think that's going to, like, how you think that's going to fucking end? You going to kidnap the CEO of a major company that everybody knows, and you're just going to fly your ass out of Detroit, and you think, I'm just going to get the safety? Like, yeah.
At least RoboCop was part satire. So you can, like, write that off, because, you know, it's supposed to be, that's exactly part of the
deal. The charm.
Deal. Yeah. But yeah, I'm okay. The Mummy's actually, all right, I was going to tell you this. I'm going to try for The Mummy tomorrow.
Okay.
So, no, not tomorrow, Friday when I'm here. And it will be background noise, and I don't want it to be. So I'm gonna give it as much attention as I can, but
oh, please, please do.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to you watching this movie.
My thing is, like, Tom Cruise, he makes what, 4 movies a year?
Three or four.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know. I guess The Rock does the same thing, and he'll have a bummer here or there.
Yeah, but this one is kind of like they wanted to start a whole new movie universe.
And I'm glad it bombed, because that's stupid.
And it was like, and this was kind of like, you know, first they tried it with Dracula, then they said, well, we wasn't really trying with that. And then they tried it with this, and it's like, they basically canceled it after this one. Oh, I'm looking forward to you watching this movie. All right. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of your reaction. You can feel what I felt.
Great. Trying to think. I know there's another one. I was trying to go through our conversation, but I can't find it. Oh, well, doesn't matter. It didn't make that much of an impression, apparently.
Yeah. You might as well jump into what we've been talking about for, like, 3-4 months.
We're almost at an hour. Is this going to give us enough time?
Yeah. It gives us enough time.
All right. Well, I think – all right, go ahead. I'll let you leave with this one.
Okay. So one of the reasons we started this show is because we both are around the same age, and we both, like, grew up around the same type of action movies, and we love action movies. And a while ago, we would decide, like, which decade that we felt had our, not necessarily the best, our favorite action movies. And it's basically like, you know, you can't, the 70s, not really, didn't really have enough. So it's basically like, you go the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and the aughts. So, Jeremy.
Okay, so what I was going to ask, though, and this is, I don't know if we ever finished the conversation about it.
Jess,
so does, like, Conan count? Like, those fantasy movies? Because those are action as well. Oh, it's gotta be. It has to be the '80s then.
For me, it's either the '80s or the aughts. It's like I'll break it like '80s, the aughts, '90s, and 2000s. Is how I rank them. Because like '80s just had like really like the birth. Because it's basically like, you know, you had the Schwarzenegger, Stallone, and then Seagal and Van Damme era. And then late 80s, Die Hard came with Bruce Willis, was basically like, you know, anybody can be an action star. It was a muscle thing. And that led all the way up to the 90s up until, I want to say, the 2000s. And then it was like comic movies started and big franchise stuff did, which kind of changed again. And then the aughts, it's kind of like went back to basics. Because you think about it, you had probably the two best Mission Impossible movies, Dread, the John Wick series, the Raid series, and Fury Road, all came out in like the 2010s. So it's like if you put like a top 20 action movies, yeah, you can like maybe, what, at least 6 or 7 just from this decade, and this decade not even finished yet. So it's like we always got a soft spot for the 80s.
Well, it's like, funny, even some of the alt movies, what was the, oh my God, the Schwarzenegger one that came out with he's the sheriff of that town.
The Last Stand.
That was in the one with Stallone. Escape
Plan. Bullet in the Head. Yeah, Escape Plan. So, and then Stallone did Bullet in the Head. Like, even the small ones you want to think about is like awesome little action movies. And we don't even talk about like, the whole like Netflix and all the stuff. They like all that stuff. I'm just thinking about like movies. No, it's kind of hard because it's like after a while they kind of blend in and some of them we forget. But like the 80s ones they showed all the time. But I'll say this. Up until Die Hard and maybe Predator, most of them in the 80s don't age well.
Oh, no, none of them age well.
Up until Die Hard was like the first one that felt like they put a lot of money in. Like Die Hard, like to a lower set, Lethal Weapon. Like Die Hard could come out tomorrow and it would kind of look, the only, besides like the whole phone thing and still in bare bonds, it'd be you wouldn't have to change that much. Like the, you know, that's the first one to feel like, you know, a professional did this. And, you know, John McTiernan is probably one of the best action directors who ever lived. He did that. He did Predator. Like, he's done basically the action movies that a lot of your favorite ones, he probably did from that time frame.
I think Predator still holds up.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned Predator. Okay. Predator's almost kind of like a, it's funny where that's almost like a horror movie.
Yes.
Like that. And then you think about the 80s, like, because, you know, we talked about it. You had Terminator. You had Aliens. You had the Lethal Weapon series. You had the Mad Max series. You had all the stuff. Stallone and Schwarzenegger with like we ain't talking about Rambos. Like you had all of that, like even like little like Tango and Cash. Does Indiana Jones count as an action movie? Because you had those two.
I would have to say yes. If we're gonna count like Conan and that sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, like just think about the Murder's Row of movies. Yeah, even like Michael Douglas doing Romancing in the Stone.
Yes,
like stuff like that. Like it's good stuff. So it's not like you go up and down the decade. You have like, you know, because it's like the '70s. What you got? Enter the Dragon. Like what's? I'm trying to think who. Like it's basically kung. If you don't do kung fu stuff, or westerns, maybe like I can't even think of it. Like
trying to find a quiz. French
Connection. Maybe
Dirty Harry. Like, the original Mad Max.
Mm-hmm.
The original Getaway. Another Dirty Hair movie, Magnum Force.
Yeah, basically you had kung fu movies and blaxploitation.
Yeah, yes, and then and all right. Like, so I'm doing a Google search, a real quick, just like top whatever. So the 70s for Google. All right, Enter the Dragon, Dirty Harry, French Connection, The Enforcer, another Dirty Hair movie, Mad Max, Way the Dragon, Getaway, Coffee.
That's what Pam Grier.
Sorry, I got distracted by the poster.
I bet you did. I know
no, I really did. And then Magnum Force. And then the 80s. Terminator, Aliens, Die Hard, Predator, RoboCop, Raiders of the Lost Ark, First Blood, Lethal Weapon, Mad Max 2, Commando. That just keeps going on. 90s. Terminator 2, Matrix, Total Recall, Face Off, Con Air, Bad Boys, Demolition Man's a movie, True Lies, Hard Boiled, and The Rock. Hard Boiled is a Hong Kong movie. The rest of these have all been American.
Yeah, like the 90s, the funny thing, like the 90s definitely have a lot, but I think the 90s changed from, it was the Schwarzenegger era was kind of dying out, and it went to first, especially when Harrison Ford did The Fugitive, it was like, we can kind of like classy up action movies.
Yeah.
And you had that for a little while. But then it was like, you had Michael Bay, and it's kind of like, we can just have a whole bunch of character actors and put like somebody can act in there. Because, you know, you look at The Rock, and it's like, look at that. Sean Connery, probably his last great role. Because, like, Sean Connery was kind of slowed down. Then he was in that, and it's like that, Entrapment. Like, he had made, like, a comeback again before he retired. You know, Nicolas Cage, who probably had, think about it, he did The Rock, Con Air, and Face Off. Mm-hmm.
And then that was after winning an Academy Award.
For Leaving Las Vegas. Like, you know, you do your character actor thing, you probably do three of the best action movies of the decade, and then you lose your damn mind. Because he was in everything for a while, and then it got to the point where he wasn't like crazy Nicolas Cage. He was still like Nicolas Cage stuff. You know, Bad Boys, Speed, which the thing like makes Keanu Reeves a star. And then you like Blade in the Matrix. And it's like right before, and then right after that, superhero stuff, which kind of like, superhero stuff, I don't know, like, they always feel strange looking at those action movies because it's just a different type of action. It's like, if you grew up in the 80s, you're not going to feel the same way watching, like, you know, Iron Man. Like, Iron Man is a fun movie. Is it like, it's basically a lot of you seeing computer models fly around shooting laser beams. Mm-hmm. And that's why I can see why people complain, say, like, you know, no matter how well you do it, it always looks like weightless, like people just mess around with a MacBook Pro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but still.
I mean, it's still, not to say it's not fun, but it's kind of like, that's one of the advantages why The Dark Knight holds up so much, because it's practical. And that's probably why it's like, you look at them, that's probably like the, as good as the Marvel stuff goes, if you go best comic movie, if The Dark Knight's not one, it's number two. And most of the great Marvel movies came out like in the aughts, like this decade. Because I know it's a dirty secret, between Iron Man and the Avengers, it's some rough sledding.
Yeah.
People tend to forget that part. And even after the Avengers till, I want to say, I'm trying to think. Was it because, you know, you had like the Winter Soldier and you had Iron Man 3, but you had Thor the Dark World, Avengers 2. Like, you had some rough patches until Marvel became like this Marvel machine. But you think of the non-comic movies, what, 300?
Yeah, and even 300 gets kind of a bad rap.
Yeah. 300 is one of those, like, it was cool when it came out, but then it was like, it just seems goofy now. And I don't know, like, I loved it when it came out. I watch it now, I just like, I mean, I must have been a different mind place. Like, that type thing. Like, it just didn't age well. Like, Sin City, first one I still liked, the second one was trash.
Oh, trash. Yeah, that second one. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's what happens when we let Frank Miller do something.
Yeah, Casino Royale still holds up. Like, the Bond movies were good in the aughts.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's hard, like, the fact where you got to kind of, like, guess and think about which ones, because I can't really, I had a list, but, like, off the top of my head, I can't remember, like, a lot that I liked during the 2000s. And that probably says a lot about, like, it's almost like a lot of them just kind of blended together.
Trying to find my list again. Let me see what 2000s pulls up, if it does. All right, with Dark Knight, Kill Bill, Casino Royale, Hostage, no, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
All right. Yeah, that's more like fantasy. I guess it's action, and it's got nominated for awards. So,
but you're right. It really is the age. This is really the time where the fantasy and Yeah, superhero movies. Oh, there's Spider-Man's in there.
Oh, Taken. Batman.
Yeah. Taken did kind of revive the genre a little bit, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then Taken, just kind of destroyed it too. So
Taken basically brought all these old people, like basically yeah, Taken and the Bourne movies, which yeah. Oh, Fast and Furious, because that basically started in the 2000s. And it's funny, as much as you watch those movies, it just skipped our damn minds. I need to think about those movies.
All joking aside, it's because they're almost a category unto themselves.
But just, it's a shame. Yeah. But it's funny. Right. It's the probably the non-comic franchise, the biggest one, like, unless you count like that or Jurassic Park. Like, and I didn't think about it. It's like, yeah, that's a thing. And that's been a thing. But no, it's funny where the 2000s kind of like you had a lot of artsy movies. Mm-hmm. Comics just dominated stuff. The Bourne movies, which I cannot stand those movies.
I like the first one
is okay. The second and third were like that shaky cam shit. Yep. No, I can't do.
Well, I'll see what you think about American Made then. So, it's not a Paul Greengrass movie, but Doug Liman likes doing that stuff too.
Yeah, and I remember Edge of Tomorrow. So
especially when it's not necessary, like people standing there watching something. So. But yeah, that's actually when, well, Mission Impossible was in 2000. So, yeah, the 2000s it really did become. Well, we got Crank and Transporter on here,
mm-hmm.
But it really is a lot of comic book and then fantasy kind of replaced a standard action. Where in the past you had a mix. So I guess it's just.
I think the big thing is like. Three things happened. One, they realized you didn't need a star to sell the movie. You just need the story. Two, comic movies happened. And three, Michael Bay stopped doing stuff like The Rock and Armageddon and started doing Transformers. That's what happened. And it's like everybody got into franchise stuff now. So, like, you don't get, like, Gone in 60 Seconds anymore. That's basically Fast and Furious kind of, like, wiped that out, like, those type of movies.
Yeah.
You know, Con Air, that's going to be on Netflix. Like, what's the last kind of, like, you know, you got this big budget action movie with all these stars that wasn't, like, a comic movie or wasn't a Transformers movie? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I got nothing.
Exactly. Like, they, you know, those people, like, people complain, like, oh, they don't make those movies as each other anymore. I mean, they do. People just don't watch them. They definitely don't make, like, Gone in 60 Seconds anymore, where you got Nicolas Cage and Angelina Jolie and Robert Duvall. Like, that type of cast. Like, no. They ain't making those anymore. It's like, so, which is amazing to make them.
The one part I loved about Gone in 60 Seconds, that movie wasn't good, but. The fact they kept advertising Angelina Jolie, wasn't it after she won an Oscar? Or she won an award, right?
She won an Oscar, Girl Interrupted.
That's it. And then she was in Gone in 60 Seconds, so they were advertising the hell out of her in that movie. She's in a movie for maybe 10 minutes.
She pops up in there.
But not the way she was pushing the advertisements.
Yeah, because it's
that
just
made me laugh.
And it's like, it's so many people in that damn movie. Like, you got... what's his name? Christopher Eccleston. Like when he did Doctor Who, you got Chad McBride. You got character actor that always shows up in Michael Bay movies. Like he was the henchman in the first Punisher with John Travolta. Like his partner in that one, he's in there. Giovanni Ribisi's in there. Like, yeah, that was back in the day. It's like you have an action movie and you are like 11 people that you recognize in the movie. Now it's like you might get one or two at the most.
This is kind of off topic, but I just remembered this. So the guy that plays Shades in Luke Cage,
mm-hmm.
He actually is going to be at All In Saturday.
Yeah, I saw that because he was doing that thing. He was in that thing with Rey Mysterio.
Yes,
I mean it's,
but it's like he's a TV guy. He's an action guy, so.
He's an action guy that's been in movies and TV shows, and he's recognizable. So it's kind of like, I'm at this point with wrestling, I'm not surprised by what anything happens. It's more like wrestling can't surprise me as much as movies do. But I just, it's funny when you, when I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how spoiled we are by the 2010s. It's kind of like we had The Raid and John Wick, uh-huh. and probably the, and the best Mad Max. Like Fury Road is amazing, and there's no way in the world that movie should ever been made. So you know, you think about any of the other stuff that came out, you had John Wick and The Raid.
Oh, all right, so 2010s, Fury Road, Inception,
mm-hmm.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Fast Five came out. Fast Five came out. Basically all the fun Fast and Furious movies came out in the 10s.
And then we're also forgetting The Raid, too. I mean, not forgetting, we just didn't mention it mm-hmm. yet. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's all...
Like, we got the best Fast and Furiouses, and we got the best Mission Impossibles, and then all this other bonus stuff we got.
And this is, all right, and these are just the big budget ones. Mm-hmm. We're not even talking about the stuff that pops up on Netflix. You're like, the hell's this? But that still goes back to the 80s. Because yeah. if you have Amazon Prime, or if you have Netflix, it's becoming more and more difficult to find interesting stuff on there. Like, that's not Netflix provided or big budget stuff. Amazon Prime always gives me something interesting to watch. And I think that's why I automatically said the 80s. We've already got those movies we kind of grew up with.
Yeah.
And that makes sense. Like, but the more mm-hmm. I find these, I mean, these ridiculous ones.
I get an example.
There's charming. So,
like, you see Everly?
Everly.
It's like this. It's a Salma Hayek movie, 2014. It's basically kind of like, she just bad. It's like a badass action star. Our first time I saw it was on Netflix.
I did not see that yet. That was the other movie I saw, The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Mm-hmm. Like stuff, it's kind of like stuff like that, where Jennifer Garner got one coming out next weekend.
Yeah, what a horrible name for that movie, too.
I saw that, I'm like, Peppermint.
I'm like, what?
And you know what's hilarious about that? Because at first, I laughed at Jennifer Garner's cast, because she did this action shit a long time ago, and then she became a mom.
Yep.
Like, you know, Alias was out way back in the day. Like, Daredevil Electric came out in the early 2000s.
Yep.
So it's funny where, you know, you see old men doing it all the time. Jennifer Garner isn't old, but by Hollywood, you know, you get past 30, they call you granny. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're giving her like an action movie, just come on a movie, and I'm watching this and I'm just laughing because it's like, one, the name was just so damn dumb, like Peppermint.
Doesn't it sound like some like coming of age story?
Yes.
Like coming of age story.
I'm like, yeah, like it's all being subtitles. I'm like, why did they name it? Well, I'm like, you remember the name, but it's like, why did they name it this? It's like, you know, her family dies, she leaves for 5 years, and she coming back killing the evil gang, and people, social media are rooting for her and stuff like that. Like, I'll see it. I saw Taken. I even saw Taken 2, which was so damn ridiculous. Like, I want you to throw hand grenades on the roof so I can find out where you are. What?
Yeah.
I saw that scene, and come on now.
Yep.
Can you imagine that in a major city?
I saw that, and I went, if I'm going to accept all this other stuff, I have to accept that. So.
Suspension of can only go, like, it wasn't a suspension of belief part. It's kind of like, that just seems so damn irresponsible. They weren't smoke grenades. They weren't flashbangs. They real hand grenades. Like, I need to find the voice. Throw the grenade. Count 10 seconds and throw it again.
Like,
okay, and she did like three or four. And she like, okay, dad.
Yeah.
Boom. Okay. You're 45 degrees. Throw another one. Don't worry. Like, basically, don't worry about civilians. They die. They die. Come save your mother. And I'm just like, yeah, that one and the Olympus Has Fallen movies, which is kind of like, I know you like those, like, you don't see asshole heroes anymore. That's the thing. Shout out to Gerard Butler for finding his role as being like the asshole action hero. Because mm-hmm. that's his thing. When he tried to do that rom-com stuff, nah. I mean, he's charming like that, but I don't want to see him talking, I'm here to slip you off your feet. Like, I don't need to hear all that. Sound like the Lucky Charms. Like, he sound like the Lucky Charms man. Like, no thanks. I want to see you, I'm a badass dirty cop, or I'm a badass Secret Service agent, and I'm just doing whatever. Like, I'm a kill people, I'm a crack jokes. He's like an 80s hero that we currently have. And we don't really have people like that anymore. So kudos to him. I see his movies.
I've not seen Geostorm yet. That's on the
skip
recording.
That. No.
Are you kidding? They have a giant satellite that can control the weather and terrorists get a hold of it?
You will be disappointed. I thought the same thing. Oh. Do not see that movie. Oh, no. Except if you want to see like all these people, like, oh, it's all these people that I recognize and other stuff that done bigger and better things. So, because what's the face? Domino's in that movie. And that came out before Atlanta. And that came out before Atlanta did. So that's like, oh, I didn't even know she was in this. So if you want to see that, that's fine. You want to see Andy Garcia be the president? Go right ahead.
You're selling the movie.
Hey, I thought the same thing you thought. Like, you know, at least it'd be like dumb fun. You know, I'll just say this: it's not enough of the stuff that would have made it fun.
Oh, see, that sucks. What was that one movie? It was had Laurie from The Walking Dead in it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, because they had like the hurricanes and stuff. We talked about that because he's like, this goofy movie was actually fun.
Yeah,
it was him and the dude from Strike Back.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember we talked about that. I can't even think of the name of it because I was like, this seemed cheesy.
Perfect Storm.
And it was like, no. Perfect. No.
No. Come on. Oh, well. Anyways, if that's what I'm expecting out of Geostorm. Because the premise is idiotic. So, all right. If it's going to be that stupid, then make it stupid. I mean, you know what you're signing up for. You read the script. All right. Actually, if you read the name on the script and you go, all right, so we're going to make this. No, you're making a movie called Geostorm.
Into the Storm.
That's it. No. Well.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It actually was profitable. It made money. And I was like, I remember we both watched this, like, this isn't half as bad as I thought it'd be. Because it was like 90 minutes, it did everything it said it was going to do, and it left.
Yeah. Because I know my mom likes those disaster movies. Like, it's one of the one things we kind of have in common, like, the dumber they are, the better. And she liked it a lot. She's like, you should see it just for the special effects. They're really cool. I'm like, all right. And yeah, okay. I enjoyed it a bunch. Oh, and we got to wrap up. I forgot. Mm-hmm. We can continue this later. Did you happen to see, and I've heard no one talk about this, did you see the final Sharknado?
Hell no.
Okay. I complain about those movies after the first one because they know they're making a bad movie, and they're just making as bad as possible.
Yeah.
This last one, it's as bad as the other ones were, I wouldn't call them trash. Garbage, maybe. Trash, you know, you get a little bit of a different meaning out of it. This thing was hot. It was trash. It made no sense. They put no money into it. And it was like, I know it's a sci-fi movie, and I know what I'm talking about is Sharknado. I get it, all right? But if you're making five of these things, shouldn't you at least care about the last one? And they clearly didn't.
They probably like, let's get this over with. No, it's kind of like, it was fun when it first happened, but it was like, when it's those type of movies where it's like, we know you're in on a joke, and we're just going to make it as joke as possible, then you kind of miss the, then it's like missing the point. Yeah. So, well, no, we can end on something better, on nice, because you talking about how you're like, those disaster movies, they do stupid stuff. You remember that volcano movie with Tommy Lee Jones and that hash?
Vaguely. That wasn't one of my favorites, what I remember at least.
I saw the dumbest thing I ever seen in my life in this movie. So there is a bunch of firefighters, and they're underground, like, you know, under like a train, and lava comes. And this firefighter has this wounded guy, and he's on the train, and there's lava between the train and where like regular land is. And his partner's like, you know, leave the guy, save yourself, come jump. You know, like being reasonable, you know, might be selfish, but it's like, you know, you gotta take care of yourself, this lava coming. This guy, like, no, I'm gonna be a hero. So I'm watching this movie, I'm like, what's he trying to do? So he jumps, and this is slow motion. He jumps, he lands in the lava, throws the dude off his shoulder so the dude can land on land while the guy just falls in the lava like he's Super Mario and just bursts in flames and just dies. I'm like, okay, now I know heroism is great. I'm like, this gotta be the dumbest thing. Like, he basically did a Brock Lesnar move while he was on fire. Like, he jumps feet first in lava, lifts. I seen Fireman's Carry. We both watched wrestling.
And
tosses him like 8 feet in the air while he's on fire. And I sat there and I'm watching my wife. I'm like, you see this? And she's like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, this has gotta be the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Now I have to see if I can record that, because I'm guessing I haven't seen this movie, because that doesn't sound
like at all. Yeah, I had seen it from beginning to end. Like, I think it came up on Cinemax of Stars, because it's Tommy Lee Jones, Anne Hesh, and Don Cheadle. And surprisingly, Don Cheadle doesn't die. I swear he was going to die, because black people die in these type of movies. But I saw that scene, and I'm like, this shit is insane. And I've seen Michael Bay movies, so keep that in mind. Like, I've seen some insane shit in movies, so yeah. And you like bad movies, and I was thinking about you. One thing we kind of take for granted, movies that are bad are real bad. Mm-hmm. Like, the acting is bad, the special effects is bad. Like, I don't know why I was watching, like, Warlock 2 or 3.
Oh my god. Wow, I forgot about those.
And I'm watching the end, and the dude is doing front flips and flying like a ninja in the park. And I'm watching this, and they had like actors I remember, and the acting is like, people talking about CW. Shit, they haven't seen back acting until they seen like some 80s action movie. I'm like, so these are the movies Jeremy watch.
Yep.
And I was thinking about that. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, you know what? I'm never going to complain about certain actors ever again.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. But then we got to wrap. But I do think, and I do wonder, actually, the movies that we see now that are bad, or we're in 10 years, 15 years from now, we're going to see those again and go, this is so bad, it's kind of cool. Kind of like what we do with some of these movies.
Yeah, because I know people like Con Air a lot more now than they did when it came out. So I could easily see that.
Yeah, because we have to go, but mm-hmm. I really don't like how the term cult classic has been aped by like popular culture.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a movie's bad and people like watch and go, this movie's so bad, that doesn't make it a cult classic. Mm-hmm. A cult classic is when not a lot of people have seen a movie,
or when it's misunderstood. Yeah. Like when Dread is a cult classic.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the cult criteria. Yeah, because, like, not a movie. We'll talk about it on the show, because it is a movie I thought about. But it's like, no. If it's a movie that people just didn't see, or people, like, Predator is a cult classic, where it's like, it was good. People didn't think it was good then. People think it's a classic now. Some movies are just bad. And 10, 15 years from now, it's going to be, like, Hudson Hawk is trash. It was trash then. It's trash now. And nothing, you know, so. Yeah. Unbreakable? It's like one of those things, people don't understand it then, and it works a lot better now.
On that note, go see Unbreakable. That's actually playing on Cinemax or something. They keep playing that thing during the day. So, yeah, we'll be back. Yeah, we should be back next week. Yeah, no reason not to be. Everyone, thanks for listening. Stunt Granny on all social media. Stunt Granny on your favorite podcast platform. And, yeah, college football finally starts this weekend. Thank God. I got all choked up about it. What a great way to end the show. I'll let Shahid take us out.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and as Jeremy drinks his milk to celebrate Jim Harbaugh coming back for Miami for Michigan football, I think Miami football, I'm getting choked. We are out.